Hello and welcome to Charm by Bravo, a beautiful Bravo podcast. Have I used that before?
I don't know if you have, but
beautiful,
let's go with
Bravo
it.
Beautiful Bravo podcast hosted by Catherine, that is her, and Yvette, that's me.
Hello.
She was in London being so very British.
Oh my God, I'm so hungover.
Riding train. She was on a train today. She was in a London pub. I mean.
I was.
Very British.
I was in many London pubs. I was out in Shoreditch, darlings. And I was in many London pubs. Many cocktails were consumed. Many bouts of vomiting happened this morning because I was that hungover. Everyone needed to know that. Welcome to your weekend, everyone.
She's a cautionary tale now. But
I'm a cautionary tale. Well, if bloody Summerhouse and Lindsay and Kyle aren't cautionary enough tales for you to curb your alcohol consumption every once in a while, then I don't know what is.
Were you Kyle in the kitchen level or were you a little better?
No, I was Kyle in the kitchen level, yeah.
Oh like my.
Ordering loads of food and then eating it in a hotel room bed, watching a true crime documentary.
I mean, it sounds amazing, to be honest. So
it was amazing, not going to lie.
I did nothing like that. I sat on my sofa and watched Summer House, you know, with all the people when it aired. And then I do want to tell everyone, because I know y'all have been worried about me. I have a coffee this morning. Like, I don't have a tea.
Thank God.
I know. Like, that tea about did me in last week. It was not a real beverage. It was BS. So now I have a real coffee and I'm ready and I'm peppy and I'm ready to talk about Summer House. Such a bloody good episode.
Yeah, it was a good episode. But yeah, should we quickly talk about Vanderpump Rules in the Valley? I'm still behind on Vanderpump Rules for the third week running. I am going to binge the Valley tonight because my husband's out and I can't wait.
Have you not seen the Valley? How much do you have to binge? How many episodes?
I think I've got two. I've only got two episodes.
Okay. So I'll just say this to you and then you haven't seen it yet, but tell me, we'll talk like tomorrow, not on mic. Sorry, y'all, but we'll talk. And you got to tell me what you think about Push Fest. There's a Push Fest in a hallway and it's so fun.
I know what that is. I've seen some things. Yeah. I mean, it's the thing is you kind of don't want to like it because there's a reason that Kristen, Jax and Brittany aren't on Vanderpump Rules anymore. But in terms of just giving us some ridiculous, stupid Bravo content, it's there, isn't it? It's there already. But I suppose there's three members of very seasoned reality stars, really, aren't there?
Right. And as far as saying, like, we feel bad watching them because, you know, they're even too scummy for Vanderpump Rules. But, like, oh, my God, look who's on Vanderpump Rules. It's not like a bastion of morality over there. Like, we got Sandoval. We got Shorts. We got.
Oh, Jesus, yeah. Can I ask you a question before we move on about Vanderpump Rules? Have I spoken at length about how offended I am by Tom Schwartz's bleach blonde do? Have I spoken about this? I've probably spoken about it to you, but I can't remember if I've done it on mic.
I don't think that the listeners know. No.
I know this happened ages ago, but I am a bleach blonde. And I was like, oh my God, that needed another go around with the bleach. I honest to God think Joe did it to get back at him and get revenge because it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. Like, because it is not a good advertisement for her as a hairdresser because it is a terrible bleach job. She was just slapping the bleach on. That's not how you do it.
Slapping it on.
She was. That's not how you do it. You have to do it in a really sort of considered and sectioned way. She was just slapping it on, but also
like it's like she filled a toilet bowl with bleach and just like put Schwartz's head in there and sloshed it around. That's what I'm picturing.
But as a revenge, hilarious because it looks terrible. It's orange, it's not blonde. It takes a lot of work to get to that color, but it just made me chuckle. But as a bleach blonde, I was like, get off my stoop, Tom Schwartz. Get off the bleach blonde stoop. You don't belong here.
He's given y'all a bad name. He's bad
really
PR.
A bad name. Yeah, those are my thoughts and feelings. Shall we talk about Summer House, which I enjoyed?
Oh my gosh, this was a great episode.
Episode 10, Yvette. We were on episode 10.
We are. I wrote down 9. Is this really 10?
Yeah. Because I wrote down 9 and then I was like, oh my God, this is 10. The Parent Trap. Or as I like to call it, Paige's Revenge.
Oh my God. And another movie title, The Parent Trap.
Yes, they've committed to a theme, haven't they, really?
I love it. It works.
Yeah, I just thought it was great. I loved Paige. Like,
yes,
she gets you in a way that you don't realize. Like, Danielle really upset her last episode, and now she's going for Danielle, but she's not outwardly going for Danielle. She's not going, what you said to me really upset me. She's like, you've upset Amanda and you've upset Gabby. Amazing.
This is the Paige content we've needed all season.
Yeah.
And do not mess with Paige DeSorbo, people. Like, I feel like that's a horrible idea. And all she had to do was just play off of Danielle's predictable awfulness. Like, that's it.
Danielle's really doing my... Has she always been this awful?
I was wondering the same thing. She's awful. Like, oh, it's... We'll talk about it.
She's horrible at the beginning of this episode. Everyone, has Danielle always been this awful? Or is it just that her awfulness, especially after Winterhouse, is getting aired this season? Like, help us out here, founder and CEO, Danielle. What's going on?
Well, let's get into it.
Let's do it.
We're straight back into Lindsay being like, oh my gosh, I'm so turned on by productivity. And you are so not productive. And they just finished that conversation.
She really tried. Did you not think she really tried to backtrack it and soften it as well? Because she said to him at the end, I'm really just trying to tell you how I feel. I know I'm not doing a very good job. I just want some security. I really, really want to have children. I think that, like, the delivery isn't amazing, but the message is, I personally think, valid.
Valid, yes, I agree. And she deactivated herself and she reeled it in. And yeah, I thought that was completely reasonable. She was sweet to him there. And I think her desire for him to have a steady, stable career in order to be married is a reasonable ask. Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah, employment is appropriate.
I will say this before we move on, because really we talked about this enough last episode, but Carl is very much either not answering or going, okay. And I thought that was it. I thought his responses were interesting. He doesn't. And he's going on and on about their communication not being very good. And yeah, he might not like what Lindsay's saying, but she's not being a massive bitch. She's not being aggressive. She is saying to him, I'm not trying to criticize you. This is how I feel. And he's not giving her anything back.
Right. Yeah, I think maybe he's mentally checking out already by this point. I don't know.
Absolutely, 100%, absolutely.
That was that. And it looks like the space party is starting to wind down. But should we talk about the Danielle-Gabby conversation?
But I think the thing is, right, I know Paige is going after Danielle. I know she is because of what Danielle said to her about Craig last episode. But she's not fucking wrong. The way that Danielle speaks to people is a bit ridiculous. And I don't know if she's always been like this and I've just not properly noticed it before or what it is. Or I don't know if I am like so mind washed by everything Paige Sorbo does. I'm like, yes, Paige, you are right. I don't know what it is. But yeah, the way she talks to Gabby, like, she's really critical.
She says to her the following things. I wrote them down. She says, Danielle aggressively tells Gabby that she is incapable of flirting. That is so rude. That is hurtful. She's like,
Coming from Danielle, mate, have you watched her? Listen, I am sorry, but if Danielle is, and this is the thing that she holds herself up just because she's getting laid. Danielle, there's a reason you're getting laid and it's fine. You're just putting it out there. And I don't have an issue with that. If you want to get laid, put it out there and see what happens. And it works for her, clearly.
And see what happens.
But do you know what I mean? But
you get a balloon man is what happens.
I have seen no fucking evidence of her being a master flirter. Flirtatious doesn't come to my mind directly.
I mean, okay, she is giving this advice. Wearing a pair of like welding goggles. I couldn't even take her seriously. She's wearing those like clear scientist goggles.
Oh, she was. Yeah.
And I mean, her flirtation style is just like, it's cringe. It's very cringe.
She is cringe. And
she is like
I hate saying this about other women, but there is a desperation about her as well. And I understand where that comes from. I understand that she's had like a horrible breakdown of a relationship, and that's probably affected her self-worth quite and esteem quite significantly. But man, it's cringe as hell to watch. I can understand it, but I don't have to like it.
I know, I don't like it. She reminds me of like a Venus flytrap plant that's just like in that green suit like this, and she's got like her claws out, and any man that flies by, they're like the flies, and she might entrap one. And she traps Balloon Man, and she lures him into, I mean, she didn't have to lure him, he was a willing participant, but I mean okay, back to the things she says.
Yeah,
she's basically pressuring the Gabby to hook up with a man. And Gabby has to remind her about like standards. Gabby's like, yeah, I mean, that's fine, but I do have like some standards. And Danielle's like, what? Standards? What are those? And then she's like, okay, for example, like anybody at this party, who do you like? Who do you like? And Gabby just says, well, Balloon Man is super hot. And she's like, oh, sorry, hon. I'm already laying the groundwork there. Oh my Lord. Like, she's the worst.
She's the actual worst. That's saying a lot.
And she doubles down. Gabby's like, I was trying to flirt with him. And Danielle in her welding goggles is all like, I wouldn't call that flirtation. Like, that's not giving flirtation.
I mean, if I was Gabby, I wouldn't be upset by this. I'd be like, great. If Danielle thinks that I'm doing the wrong thing, I'm definitely doing the right thing.
Exactly. I would watch whatever Danielle does and do the exact opposite. But
she's being, as we would say in the UK, a wanker. She's been a right wanker. And it's not nice. Like, Gabby's going, well, I'm not going to be flirting away with him. I've just met him. And Danielle's like, yeah. But like, when you're in a bar, that's what you like. You just like, there's swag and there's openness. And I'm like, you lost me at swag, love. Swag.
Yeah,
Danielle
swag.
Plus swag equals everything you need to know about Danielle in a nutshell. Swag, everyone.
Yeah, she's so swag. Oh my God. This is a good little segue. Wes Wilson has swag. He and Sierra continue to be adorable. They're just adorable.
They are. There's quite a few cute little scenes. To be honest, I didn't actually make any notes about the Wes Sierra scenes other than to just say, this is a cute scene.
Her model manager man, Derek, he is pro Wes and Sierra. He's chanting like kiss, kiss. And then they kiss and they're just cute. That's it. He also kissed her manager, which he's a secure man. He didn't even care. He's like, mwah. Kiss him too.
Go for it, Wes. We're all here for it. Right. Let's get Paige DeSorbo serving Danielle. So everyone's partying and Gabby grabs Paige and Amanda to tell them about the Danielle conversation. And Gabby is upset. She's upset by this. And Danielle comes in and Gabby sort of goes into the bathroom to cry. And Danielle comes in at this point. And Paige is like, you've really upset Gabby. You were abrasive and you were abrupt. And Dan's like, well, she just didn't want to hear it tonight. Right. So Danielle doesn't go, oh my God, I didn't mean to upset her. I thought I was being supportive. No, she just didn't want to hear it. So this is Gabby's fault that she's upset, which we're going to get more of in a second. And Paige is like, yeah, but sometimes you say things and the way you go about it, it upsets people. Like, Gabby is crying in the toilet at this point and Amanda's with her and she's like, people think that I'm the issue and people are putting pressure on me, but I just want to do what I want to do. And Amanda's going like, I am so sorry if we've made you feel that way. I'm sorry if I've ever made you feel that way. It was never our intention. So like, Amanda's handling it. Should we go back to Paige and Danielle? And Paige is going, you can't just say things. Like, if we did the same thing to you, you would lose your shit. And Danielle, oh my God. This is amazing. This is peak Paige DeSorbo right there. This Danielle's like, I've just got a combative personality. And as a founder and CEO, I try to understand.
She's such a CEO.
I tried to understand people's personalities and work like that. And I thought that she wouldn't like receive it in that way and that she would understand where I was coming from. And Paige is like, but she's not an employee. And then Paige's confessional.
Gold.
Oh my God. First off, she looks really cute with it. She's got a little boy in her hair. And Paige goes, your friend is crying in the bathroom and you're talking about being a founder, CEO of what? literally of what? Because when she said it, I thought the same thing. I was like, what are you, like, you don't, like, this app that's been going for years that still isn't working, you're the founder and CEO of literally nothing.
Oh my God. It was
so
funny.
Funny. Yeah, it was. And then Paige says to Danielle, and this is really, really annoying. She goes to Danielle, like, she is crying. She is upset. You've got to go and talk to her. And Danielle's like, no, that's dumb. It's dumb. And Paige is like, she's crying and you're saying it's stupid. And then this is when they get into it. She's like, and this is where the Craig stuff comes out, right, as a part of it, which I think is reasonable.
She says it without saying it.
But I also think it's reasonable because we said last week she had no, Danielle had no right to pass comment like that. Yeah, so Danielle's like, oh, it's stupid, it's dumb. And Paige is like, she's crying and you're saying it's stupid. You think you're a moral compass and you're an authority. And Danielle's like, oh, no, you're just projecting that onto me. That's real cute. And it's not true. And Paige is like, I told you that you told your, you made your friend cry and you said it's stupid. That is you thinking that your opinion is more important than hers. And Danielle says, I'm saying that I didn't do that. That's not what I was doing. And Paige is like, but she said you did. This is how she feels. And Paige is like, who do you think you are?
Yep. Yeah. And then she says, I'll go make sure your friend is okay. And then Paige goes from being like super hot and mad is so sweet right away to Gabby, like, are you okay, Gabby? And Danielle just stays out there remaining awful.
So this bit was interesting, I thought, because Amanda then comes in, or Amanda's in the room, and she tries to talk to Danielle, and Danielle walks away.
So rude
from Amanda. It was really rude. And I actually am going to say, I think it's rude. I don't think it's okay, but I think she walked away from Amanda, not as a personal insult to Amanda. I personally don't think I'd be interested to know what other people think, but because she didn't want to be told that she was wrong anymore. I don't think it was that she has more respect and will listen to Paige versus Amanda. I just think she didn't want to hear it anymore.
Do you think if the situation, because basically Amanda and Paige just swapped places on who was comforting Gabby and who was speaking to Danielle. Do you think if it had been flipped and Amanda had just read her the riot act, would she have walked away from Paige?
I think she actually might have, yeah. I think she might have, but then I don't know, because I don't know, to be perfectly honest, I don't know if Amanda's read of Danielle would be quite as scathing as Paige's.
Paige's was just so bang on, accurate, scathing, yes, but also just like she said it in a pretty concise, like, manner.
Agree.
This is the other reason I think she walked right away from Amanda. I think she was also wanting to go catch Balloon Man before he left.
Well, I do think that there's a part of it as well. I do think that's a part
she
of it.
She was zero affected by this conversation and her behavior. She like,
oh yeah, right.
This is why it's giving desperation. I mean, again, we feel bad saying that, but she just beelines it out of this conversation where she made a good friend cry. Partially, I know it's not over Balloon Boy, but Balloon Boy was involved in her attacking Gabby, and she just like races to go like latch on to Balloon Man and Venus flytrap him into her bedroom. Like, it was just cringe and bad. It was just bad. Ugh, Danielle, I couldn't deal with her this episode.
Yeah, it's not good. And Gabby's really, really upset. And what Paige says is, it's like, it's jealousy and it's hypocrisy. She says, and this is a really good point, she wants you to like be with guys more and do more with guys, but then she goes straight for the guy that you want.
Right.
There's not much sort of like support for you there, is there? And Gabby's like on the phone to her sister, and Paige is like, oh, it's pent. She's pent up and she's letting it out. Lindsay comes in and Amanda tells her what happened. And Lindsay's like, right, okay, I'm going to go and see Gabby. And then at the end of this scene ends, and then Amanda's asking Paige if people take her seriously because Danielle walked away from Amanda. And Paige is like, Danielle's got a superiority complex. And if she says she's a founder and CEO one more time, I'll rip my hair out.
I know. And then I think you hear she's like, bitch. Like, she's so mad, but she's so right. Also, Lindsay was being a good friend because she and Gabby are close. But I also just, like, the seriousness with which Lindsay's like, I think I do need to go talk to her. This is a hyperventilation situation. Like, she just, that made me
she
chuckle.
Was, I mean, she was very, very upset. She was very, very upset. And yeah. I know alcohol's involved.
Alcohol's involved.
Like that,
but you know, too, when things just build up and build up. And she said earlier that, like, you know, her dad was even making her feel bad about not having a relationship. And pretty soon it's just too much. And if somebody told me that I didn't know how to flirt, I mean, I kind of don't, but like, I'd be embarrassed and hurt. And then I would.
Yeah. And it was critical. It wasn't like, hey, what can we do to make this easier for you? Like, it wasn't a supportive conversation. It wasn't like, do you want me to step away from Bloom Guy? And do you want to go and talk to him? Like, I'll leave that alone. It wasn't supportive. It was just like, you don't put yourself out there enough. You've got no swag. Well, Jesus, Danielle, if having swag is behaving like you, I'd rather not.
Think. I also keep chuckling, not over the fact that she's crying, but it's a little harder to have this serious conversation when we keep having to call him Balloon Guy. It's like, you
I think his name's Joe, isn't it? But it's funnier when he's
like,
Balloon
would
Guy.
You like me to step away from Balloon Guy? Well, that's the thing too, is she was criticizing. She's like, Gabby doesn't like any men. Gabby has too many standards. And the one guy that Gabby's like, well, I do like him. She's like, nope, I'm already working on that. I'm getting my flirt on. It's like, oh God, just don't get your flirt on. Just go sit down.
Don't get it. We can't do it.
So yeah. Then yeah, we went back to the party. We've got just a little more Sierra West flirting. We've got Danielle luring Balloon Man into her room for sexy time. Icky ick. Paige was totally giving her like a judgy side eye when she was talking to Joe that I loved.
Yeah, I love a judgy side eye
it's
from
so
Paige.
Good. And then we get Amanda briefly talking to Kyle. Amanda was like, I don't even feel like Danielle takes me seriously because she walked off during this conversation. And it's also hard to take this seriously when Kyle has this like cone head thing on his head, this like alien cone head thing. But he looks very serious. And then this is interesting because I feel like this came into play a little later. So Amanda says to Kyle something about, you know, the CEO and founder BS that Danielle keeps spouting it. And Amanda says, well, my husband is a CEO and founder, so I can say whatever I want. And it's kind of interesting because later we talk about how, you know, she maybe would like to and is being encouraged to take her talents outside of the umbrella of her husband or the shadow of her husband. Yeah. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I didn't know if they put that line in there on purpose, the editors, to kind of, I don't know, but
maybe.
There's nothing wrong with what she said.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
Danielle and Bloom Guy, he's going, what should we do? Should we go out? And he's like, you're the boss. And Danielle says in her confessional, which is just completely obnoxious, oh, sorry, Gabby, you snooze, you lose.
That was rude because those confessionals are done after the fact. So she knew she made her cry. Like, Danielle, okay, I think she needs to go. I don't want her on next season of Summer House. I feel uncomfortable watching her. She gives me a major uncomfiness. I don't feel comfy when I see her on the screen.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, it's just because she's cringe. Then we've got like loads of little things going around the house. Paige's texting Craig, slagging Danielle. At one point, the guy is like, Carl closes the doors on Danielle's room, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, is anyone going to walk in? And I was like, you're on camera.
Yeah, you're literally going to have to orchestrate this entire, you know, sexy time. Underneath.
Liaison.
Thank you. You're going to have to literally orchestrate this entire liaison under a down comforter. Like, people are going to know.
Well, Danielle completely gets naked, just gets undressed and gets into bed with him.
Why are we seeing so many buns?
And that's pretty much it. Like, they do sexy time and then we're on the next day and everyone's waking up and we get at least 2 or 3 minutes of people waking up and walking around the house.
And we get more
Balloon Guy.
More buns. We get Balloon Man's buns. Balloon Man burps when he gets out of bed and he shows his buns and to me, he just screams like mistake. Like, he's, you wake up to the light of day and there's Balloon Man burping in your bed. It's just not good. Also, we didn't mention this, but last night there was a cute little thing where Wes called Sierra girlfriend, kind of slipped.
Oh, yes.
And he was like, oh, you know, I just kept wanting to take your mask off all night because, you know, she's so pretty. And he's like, and I wanted to show everyone my alien girlfriend. And she caught right onto that. And she's like, did you just call me your girlfriend? And he was like, only when you're an alien or something like that. Cutie. So they cute. Like each other. And then she calls him a loser. She's like, turn the light off, loser. Okay, if a girl calls a boy a loser and they're in bed together, she loves him. I think.
Oh, they are so cute.
If they don't make it, I'm going to cry. Also, do you know that as a hot dad? Are you on that news? Did you see my news report?
Well, West's hot daddy was on the first time this episode.
We're going to talk about that. But I broke the story on our Instagram like last week that he had a hot dad from something else that somebody posted. But yeah, Bruce is like a hot cowboy. Anyway.
Nice. Well, I saw he was a cowboy. I was like, interesting.
Yeah. And I posted a picture of him at a Chiefs game. He's kind of a zaddy. Anyway. Sorry, West.
Yeah.
But he is. Okay. Yeah. Now it's the next morning.
It is the next morning, and we're going to get a Danielle-Gabby conversation. But the first thing that we find out, and this is kind of, I was like trying to make out what was going on, but it seems like Danielle's got some sort of brunch thing booked in Montauk.
Yeah.
And Amanda and Paige don't want to go. Amanda and Paige have now decided that Danielle is the enemy, and they do not want to go.
I don't blame them. Also, Craig's back at her apartment, so like, who would you rather go hang out with, Craig or...
Well, exactly. And I wonder if he's like, if they've both sort of committed to not really being on each other's shows too much. Because if he was in New York, why wouldn't he come to the summer house?
Maybe. Well, that's the tail end of it. Maybe he like flew in on a Sunday. I can't believe how much we're thinking about this.
I can't believe it. Well, because it's Craig Conover, we will think about it. But what she does say is Craig's there, but she says, I don't want to go to anything where like Danielle's planned it effectively.
Don't blame her.
No.
Danielle talking to Gabby. Danielle loves to act like nothing ever happened. It's just like,
hey, she does love that.
Like, oh, I just want to give you the biggest hug, Gabby. I heard I made you cry. And that's so not taking responsibility. It's not, I'm so sorry that I made you cry. It's like, oh my God, people were saying I made you cry. Oh, I have no idea. But if I did, I want to hug you. That is a crap.
I was trying to motivate you because I am a founder CEO. Like, really? There's no fucking wonder your app's not going anywhere, love, if that's how you're treating people who work for you.
She's like, I'm a founder CEO of flirting with balloon men. No, you're not.
CEO of bullshit.
I'm the founder CEO of Cringeology.
Secondhand cringe. Oh my God, isn't she just...
And then she's all like, I just love you and want you to succeed. Succeed at what? Like hooking up with randos like that?
Well, this is the thing as well, isn't it? Is that Danielle seems to think that... And again, I get why. She's had a breakup that's done her in a bit. But she seems to think success is purely around men and hooking up with men and attention from men.
Yeah.
Which is also, it's pretty sad.
It's sad. And we said a few episodes ago, she seems to be making her whole personality this season. Like, I get dudes. I can get dudes.
Yeah.
And yeah, she's just really leaning into it. And it's very like high school. And she's not in high school. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, but I think this is all a part of the cringe. I think this is all a part of the embarrassment. And for her to sort of put that on Gabby and for Gabby to be upset, like, yeah, like Gabby says, it was too much. And I felt really, really judged. Like, I've got standards and like, I have to like the person.
I know, she has to remind her again about standards. And I mean, Gabby's actually pretty darn nice in what she says. Gabby could have just called her out and been like, girl, you're cringe and I have standards and like, I don't want to be like you, but she doesn't say that. She's so nice to this girl that made her cry.
She is nice. But Gabby says that she's got, Gabby tells us she's got these scars from previous relationships and she pushes them down and she ignored them and then it explodes and she actually doesn't know how to do things differently, which is really sad as well.
Yeah.
And then you've got Danielle basically reinforcing some of those messages to her, which is that she's not very good with men.
Yeah. That
horrible.
That is one of the most horrible things a woman can tell another woman, especially somebody she claims to be friends with. It's just... Yeah.
And as I say, it speaks volumes about Danielle.
Yeah, Danielle.
And the way she's thinking.
All right. Now we've got Kyle and Carl talking. This is just sort of... They're kind of they're just recapping this chat again. And
did you think it was interesting about the money talk and like the very specific figures and things like that? Because... And the way that Carl talks about Lindsay.
Yeah, he's basically like, well, what's she doing? Like,
Making 150K, in your own words, making 150K, dude.
Yeah, because he said that his 70, like, his 70K counts as him hustling, but her 150K is her doing nothing. Like, that was a little...
It is absolutely hypocritical and awful. So, like, they're talking about the career stuff, and, like, he says that she was worried that he doesn't have a job, and he gets it, and she wants me to hustle, but I feel like I am hustling. And then he's like, I have been hustling. I've been trying. Like, what have you done? Her business is deactivated, is what he says. And she sees bringing brand deals in as a career, and it's not a career.
Well,
what he said. Wow.
Yeah. Here's what I get. Okay. And maybe if he'd put it this way, it would have made more sense. What I do get is brand deals for either of them, right? This influencing stuff only lasts as long as their Bravo fame or whatever kind of fame lasts.
Yeah.
If he had said, right now, Lindsay and I are both surviving basically off of our Summer House fame, whether it's the Summer House salary and or brand deals, we don't have like an outside skill set that we're, you know, fostering here. Then I would have gotten it if he kind of said, like, both of us, eventually this will dry up. We both need to realize that this might not be our forever career. But that's not what he said. Like, that would be my thought.
No, it's bitchy what he says. Yes. It's not even a career. But then he goes on to say, you know, she like brings in brand deals and that's not a career, but it hits my ego, the narrative that I'm not making money. I made 70K on paid posts, but because she's a woman and she's got more followers, she made 150K. Like, talk about doing down her accomplishments.
Right.
Like, all of it just doesn't really make a lot of sense. So you're saying it's not a career, but then you're going, but I've made 70K doing it.
It's only a career when Carl does it. I'm going to argue it's a temporary income source more so than career for both of them.
I agree with
which
you.
Which is fine.
It's very transient, yeah. Especially whenever your fame is tied to a TV show that may or may not have you back here on you.
Right. And brands are only going to pay for people who are getting that traffic. But whereas working for Loverboy or being a PR person like she was, those would be a little more steady. He's projecting all of this onto her and not taking accountability. Yeah. So that was a not very appealing conversation. I didn't like it.
Well, the next bit I want to know what you think about. So Kyle's like, well, you know, you just want her to be supportive. And he's like, well, she just really, really wants security and she wants to be a stay-at-home mom. And Kyle says, oh, is this the first time she said that flat out? And Kyle's like, yeah. And like, I've not always known her as a career badass and she's always been a like go-getter and she's been out and hustling. And now she wants to be a stay-at-home mom and it's amazing, but I don't have the wallet to support it. And what Kyle says is, you are months away from this wedding and it seems like this is a conversation that most couples should have had. And Kyle's like, yeah, we should have had it a year and a half ago. Right. Am I getting two things conflated here? Because I think we've known for a very, very long time that Lindsay's desperate to have children. We had all of the stuff with her eggs and things like that. Like, she has spoken openly about wanting children. And I suppose I might be conflating her wanting children with her being a stay-at-home mum, right?
No, I don't think you are. She actually explained this on Watch What Happens Live, which I think brings a lot of clarity to what you just said. Yes, we know she wants children. And first of all, what I'll say too is you don't always know before you get married who's going to stay at home with the child exactly. Mm. You don't always know exactly what those logistics are going to be. I mean, I've been through it. I've seen a million couples go through it where you never know, right? You can plan to be a working mom and that baby could have health issues. I've had that happen to a friend and she had to give up her career. You never know. But what Lindsay said last night, she's like, first of all, you know, nothing wrong with being a stay-at-home mom. She's like, I wasn't saying I wanted to necessarily be a forever stay-at-home mom. Like, I am a hustler. I'm a career woman. She's like, I don't think I could ever settle my ambition down enough to just stay home. She said, but did Carl not think, like, I might want to take a maternity leave? I might want to feel secure enough to have time off and right. to, like, be at home with the baby for a while? And that was her point, which is a very good point. And
it is a very good point, but it's also kind of different to the point she appears to be making here. I will give him that.
Oh, okay.
That she mentions a number of times stay-at-home mom, so maybe her language needed to be clearer. I don't know.
Yeah. And Okay, and I'm going to put this out there. I've been a full-time working mom for years. I've been a part-time working mom, and I've been a complete stay-at-home mom. So I've done it all. I've had my kids in daycare. I've had my kids at home. However you want to do it is totally fine. But I don't like the way Carl said, I thought she was this badass career woman, and I thought she was so driven, and here she is wanting to be a stay-at-home mom. He says, which is amazing, but it's like, no. Putting those two things next to each other in a sentence does not indicate you think staying home with the children is amazing. You are saying that it is contrary. You can be an ambitious woman and want to be at home for a little bit. Like,
yeah, massively.
Welcome to being a woman, Carl. It's not always that easy. We don't always just get to be one or the other. And so the way he phrased that to me was like, oh, it's shit. It's great that she wants to be a stay-at-home mom, but I thought she was ambitious. No, Carl, you don't think it's great. You're shaming her a little bit, and I'm not here for it.
No, I'm not here for it either, and I think that this is some of the stuff he does. Like, he's insinuating that she's tricking him and that she's not being open with him and she's not telling him things and these are the issues in their relationship. But actually what he's just saying is, well, I don't want to pay for her to stay at home with our children. It's effectively what I'm getting from it.
Okay, does Carl want to be the stay-at-home dad? Like, what's happening? Talk it out, people. Well, they don't need to talk it out.
But I think more than anything, it's massively indicative of what we're about to get into the conversation with them. Carl and his mum and stepdad about the fact that this relationship is fucked. And Kyle sort of does say that. He's like, you should have maybe had this conversation a while ago. But like, also people do change in people's. And also you're still having the same fucking conversation with Amanda.
I know, you can't even decide what state you're going to live in. So yeah. So I guess we have two main things left to talk about. We have the Amanda Loverboy stuff and we have the final conversation. So shall we go shopping at Old Navy with the girls?
Were you surprised by that? I don't know Old Navy awfully well, but it just seems weird that the three of them would be in Old Navy. It doesn't seem like a shop that the three of them would be happily shopping in.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe Tara wouldn't let him film there. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. That'll be it. It's because Old Navy will have let them.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a nice conversation. And it's nice the house support of Sierra and Paige are of Amanda.
Yeah, basically that Amanda is super talented. Sierra asks her if she thinks that she really has any identity outside of Kyle. And Amanda kind of pauses and Sierra's like, because I don't think you do. And she doesn't. She softened it, though. She's like, I don't mean that in a mean way. I just mean that you have all this talent and all this. You put all this time into Loverboy and she really doesn't get credit for it. And that's what they were getting at. So they have all the confidence in the world. I thought it was so sweet when Paige was like, Amanda, I just wish you could see yourself the way I see you. And I teared up a little bit. That was so lovely. Sweet. And then we learn Amanda might want to make a swimsuit line. And I would buy an Amanda swimsuit.
I think I would as well.
You totally would.
She's saying that she's got quite big boobs and like she struggles to buy swimsuits and she'd like to sort of get into that.
Poor Amanda.
And our poor Amanda, really slim with massive boobs, must be awful.
The struggle is real. I hope there's a support group for girls like that. Hot, skinny girls with big boobs that can't find the right swimsuit.
But I think it's, do you know what? It's interesting because this is kind of born, this whole thing of them encouraging Amanda to do something different and that she's unbelievably creative and talented and she's great and she should go and like do something is kind of born out of Amanda feeling that Danielle dismissed her because she doesn't take her seriously.
Yeah.
Because they talk about it a bit at the beginning. And I'll say it one more time. I'm not 100% convinced that that's what's going on, but obviously it helps that Amanda is now against Danielle because Paige is furious at her. It helps.
It does help.
Doesn't it?
And maybe they kind of edited it together that way because they also kind of flash back to that conversation where earlier in the season where Paige had a conversation with Amanda like by the swimming pool that she had financed a lot of the startup of Loverboy. She worked full time. She gave everything up. And honestly, I think a lot of the reason Loverboy sells is that marketing and the merch and the swag and because like it's good, but it's not.
It's a really good looking drink. The packaging and stuff like that is great looking. That's why I would drink it. That's why I wanted it. I was like, but actually what did we have when I was in Texas a year ago? And it was
okay.
It was a bit sort of synthetic taste. And I think there's better ones, isn't there? There's one, apparently the limoncello one is really, really nice.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't love it. Like, us, honestly, like, there are other hard seltzers I prefer, or cocktail cans.
We like Trop Hopmar.
But we might not anymore. We're off the Austin train, everybody. We'll talk about that later. Okay.
We'll talk about that when we come to Southern Charm. But effectively, Amanda is going to start looking at swimsuits, and we're going to get a swimsuit line out of Summer House, possibly, which is a really good. And if she can brand it in the way she branded Loverboy, I'd be excited.
If I could wear a bikini that looked like the Loverboy cans, I said cans and just pointed here. That was. Anyway, we'll just skip over that. But if I could wear like a Loverboy-esque with that, the bright colors and the designs, and it's a little bit like retro. It's so cute. You do that, Amanda. Yeah. We will be your first customers.
Yeah, off you go, Amanda. We'll look forward to it. So maybe we'll hear something about it at the reunion. Have they filmed the reunion yet?
No, it's coming up soon. I heard them talk about that also on Watch What Happens Live.
That must be really soon, because they must only be a few weeks from the end of the season.
I think they said we're filming it in a couple of weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. So shall we get Carl going to see his mum and his stepdad, Lou?
Yeah.
And a very interesting conversation. He comes in and they all sit down, and Carl is saying that obviously he really loves his mum. She's his best friend. Like, he's really embraced Lou, especially after his brother died. His brother died a week after the wedding, did he say?
Oh, my Lord, yeah.
Which is very, very sad. And, you know, it's a modern family and he's embracing it, is what he says. And Carl talks about, like, he feels like this is his last summer before it gets really, really serious. And, you know, Lindsay wants to have a family, and his mum's asks him if he's ready for it, and he's like, well, yeah, no. When Curtis passed away, it reminded me how much I care about family, but it is very, very scary. I feel like Lindsay and I have a lot of young energy and we like doing stuff. And then he gets in to these aspects of sobriety, what he struggles with, and what he says is he struggles with people who are have aggressive, loud behavior when they're drunk, which I think was
Lindsay. Yeah. He's not talking about anybody else. It's Lindsay. Yeah.
What he actually says is that he felt super supported by Lindsay when she was sober, but he can't tell her to be sober. It's not up to him to tell her to do that. And his mum's like, but when it affects you, and I think this is an interesting conversation, but when it affects you, and Carl's like, I just wanted to have a healthy relationship with alcohol. It's not all about alcohol. She's not a monster. She's not an alcoholic. What he says is something like, I don't wake up and catch her like pouring vodka into a cup.
Yeah.
But I struggle with coming across as a dictator and saying what she should and shouldn't do. And his mum's like, well, it's not a dictator. It's an understanding of what you need.
Yeah. I mean, it's a mismatch in lifestyle is what it is, because her drinking, like you said, she doesn't wake up in the morning and like put, you know, vodka on her Cheerios. But she, when they socialize, and a lot of their life is socializing, happens every time you socialize, she gets drunk and yells. It's.
But a lot of Lindsay's job is that.
I agree. He can't tell her what to do. But I also think it's.
Lindsay getting drunk and shouting and screaming is massively positively reinforced by Bravo, by the audience. It's
right. So I just think that it's something Carl is realizing, and I don't think his mom is wrong, that that's just not going to be compatible with his lifestyle.
It's yeah. Really not. And I think it's probably one of the issues, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what he then says is that the communication isn't great, and we try and we miss each other, and I'm not giving up, but there's like, I'm trying to navigate it. And his mum's like, oh, well, what does that navigating look like? And he says, well, we get in big fights and we're not communicating and things get insulting on both sides. And then Lou steps in and says, do you live in fear of an explosion? And he says, yep. If she is drinking and I sense that she is upset, I will start to tread lightly. And he says, and then we get into it and we start to understand where perhaps some of their reticence and advice is coming from. So what we find out is that on Memorial Day weekend, so that's May, isn't it? Yeah, something happened between Carl and Lindsay, and he went to where Lou and his mum were in Pittsburgh. They were in Pittsburgh. And he says, you were hurting, and it seemed to me that this relationship appeared to be abusive, is what he says. And I was like, whoa. What Carl says to us is, I don't, and this is interesting, and again, I'm in really two minds about what he's suggesting here, and like, we'll unpack it, but he says to us, I don't share a lot with people, but we had a really, really big fight, and I went to see them. What Lou says is, I know it's a big word, but you were affected. And Carl's like, yeah. And then Carl says this to us, like, we are in a much better spot, and I wish I hadn't told them, but I needed to talk to someone. And at one point, I felt like if Lindsay knew I was talking about our relationship, that I would get in trouble.
Well, I just feel like we can't comment because we don't know what it was. And
I agree.
I got to be careful here, because if it were reversed and a woman used that word and said, like, I feel like this is abusive and I feel like a little bit fearful, I think we would be very quick to be like, to support it. So I don't want to not do the same just because it's a man saying it. So I'm going to say if he feels that way, he feels that way.
Agree. I also think Lindsay can be scary. We've seen Lindsay be scary. So it's not like we don't have evidence that would suggest. Yeah, can see that being the truth.
I could see it being the truth.
Whether he is trying to set Lindsay up is a different matter. But again, I agree with you. I just don't feel like if it was the other way around and Lindsay was saying it, I just don't feel like
we could.
We'd be saying, or is she just trying to set Carl up?
Yeah, we would be supportive. I think the other thing is, in cases like this, whatever happened, if that's Carl's perception, then that's reality for him. So sometimes your perception is your reality. And if that's your reality, then you can't be getting married if you even, you know, think or perceive or feel that something is abusive. Well, then it doesn't actually matter. Then it's not a healthy relationship.
Well, this is what Lou says, isn't it? He says, has things changed? And Carl's like, you know, I'm guilty and I take accountability and responsibility for my role in all of this. I will not say it's all on her. And now, I didn't realise he was a minister. So this is coming from a man who deals with couples on a regular basis. So make of that what you will. And he's like, you get married because of the relationship you have, not because you're fearful. What Lou then says is, you get married because of the relationship you have, but if you're fearful and it's not working the way you want to, getting married won't solve it.
Precisely.
Yeah, and Carl says, I want to be happy, but I get upset because I just think, like, we get into these fights and I think to myself, am I the right guy for you? And Lou's like, that is not indicative of a happy relationship. And only people with healthy relationships should be getting married. And he says that as a minister, he's married hundreds of people and he has refused to marry people before because he couldn't do it in good conscience. And this is what it feels like with him and Lindsay, which is like, I'm not doing your wedding, but if I were, I don't know if I'd do it.
You know,
that's,
it's rough, but I think especially coming from somebody that, he's not an outsider, but he's like new to the family, it's kind of like, well,
yeah,
I mean, he's allowed to say what he thinks. Carl's there asking.
I mean, but he's also right. We all know that they shouldn't be getting married. We all know this is a deeply flawed relationship, like, no matter who it's coming from.
He's totally right. And on Watch What Happens Live right after this, Andy Cohen asked Lindsay how she felt about that conversation because it was the first time she'd seen it. And she was like, very, you know, she was pretty upset about it. And she was like, well, you know, and Carl wasn't telling both sides and these people hadn't even seen our relationship and blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking the whole time, like, it doesn't matter if they've seen it. Again, if this is Carl's perception, you can't.
Also, I was in two minds about, yeah, I totally agree with you about his perception, but I'm also in really two minds about it, because if your mum and your stepdad aren't going to step up and support you, who the fuck is?
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And like, and there has to be some bias in it, right?
Yeah.
And we actually, and you're right, we don't know what they have seen. They could have seen a lot. Carl could have spoken to them a lot. And of course, it's going to be Carl's perception. Of course, it's going to be one-sided. Yeah. But if that is the way he feels, then he shouldn't be in the relationship, whether it's true or not.
Right.
Or whether he's like spinning it in a slightly different way. It's just another way to go, this relationship isn't working for me and I need to get out of it.
Yes.
This is what they're telling him. Like, and his mum says, like, his mum tries to soften when he says, I'm not sure I'd marry you. And his mum's like, well, not right now. And he's like, yeah. And she's like, I just want the best relationship for you. You deserve it. And Carl's like, but I don't know what to do. I've invested time, energy. We've committed to this. We live together. It's what I wanted. Which, again, I understand that, like, how difficult it must be to pull a plug so close to a wedding. My God. And his dad says, but you didn't envisage all of this, and it will be worse when you get married.
Yep.
Like, in this present time, I do not think you're ready. And if you continue doing this, you are setting yourself up for a world of pain, is what he says.
He's so right. So right.
I know a part of you knows this. I know it's painful, but I am speaking the truth. And Carl's like crying and saying, it's just such a mess.
Oh, it's like, this is so real as far as reality TV. I mean, a lot of what we see is so fluffy, but the other thing, yep. It felt so real. And you know it's real because they called off the wedding. I think Lindsay still doesn't see some of this because, again, I keep going back. Sorry if y'all haven't watched the Watch What Happens Live. But, you know, it was so insightful because Andy Cohen asked her, like, but Lindsay, now that you're seeing these conversations, like, is there part of you that kind of gets it now? Like, that is, he said, is there part of you that's relieved that you're not getting married after watching all this? And Gabby was like nodding yes. I guess Lindsay had told her that. And Lindsay still is like, I mean, I guess, but like, you have to understand, like, I planned and worked my tail off on this wedding and I wanted it to happen and I planned and I worked.
That is telling.
Yeah,
that is telling. You wanted the wedding to happen, not like, I think we could have made a marriage work, I think we could have got therapy. Mm-mm. I worked so hard on this wedding. Wow, that's so telling.
Yeah.
And again, I get it and I understand it, and like, people do think like that, and I'm not going to go at Lindsay for that, but it is very, very telling that what she wanted was a wedding, not a marriage.
I was like, Lindsay. Yeah.
But and I do feel badly for her, and I feel badly watching this. But as I say, I think if the tables had been turned and we were watching Lindsay with her family, that they would be supportive of her. They wouldn't be going, well, come on, Lindsay, you're awful at Carl. They'd be going, well, we're not sure about this.
Right.
That, because that's how it works. That's how families work. And they need to stick up for you, because, like, if you've got a family who's willing to stick up for you, that's great. Because who else going to do
right.
it? Like, apart from your close friends. And Kyle is trying. He's doing a terrible job of it. But he is right that wedding shouldn't be happening.
Yeah, when you're talking to your family, it's not like a trial where they need to hear both sides. It's not a debate round. It's like, they're going to be supportive. And so, yeah, Lindsay just being like, well, it's not fair, because she's like, that stepdad hadn't seen me in like a year. It's like, it kind of doesn't matter, girl. Kind of doesn't matter because Carl's miserable. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And we all know it. And it doesn't, like, I think it's just kind of interesting watching the way that they're both weaving a narrative to make themselves the victim in this. And actually, like, I do think that Carl at times was in fear of Lindsay kicking off, because Lindsay likes to kick off. And I do think that there's a bit of gaslighting on Carl's side towards Lindsay in terms of like, well, you do this and you do that, Lindsay, that is a bit unfair. And I think that some of the stuff, like that stuff he was saying, the stay-at-home mum stuff and the career stuff, was shitty. It was shitty.
Yeah, it's just
a
mess.
You don't want to be with that person, Lindsay. You don't.
It's a bad relationship.
It's a mess.
It's a mess.
It really is.
But we are enjoying the season so much.
Yeah, it's great. And thank you so much for joining us. And thank you for the people who, like, we're going up in listeners for this. So that's really lovely to have extra people joining us.
Welcome.
You can follow us over on our Instagram. Welcome indeed. On our Instagram, our TikTok, get us on email. And if you are enjoying, please leave a 5-star review. It really helps wherever you listen. And yeah, we will see you next week for another episode of Summer House, where Carl is obviously going to tell Lindsay what his stepdad said.
Oh boy.
So that's a bit for us all to look forward to.
Get activated.
Let's get ready to get activated. Have a wonderful weekend and week, everyone, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye.